We are in the book of Luke. We're in the book of Luke. We've been following the studies of Peter, observing what Peter has observed as he goes about his path that the Lord laid before him. That path that will eventually lead him to writing the two epistles when the Lord inspires him to write the words of God down on paper. In our last study, we looked at how Peter, an apostle, yes. A man highly favored of God, yes. A man highly used of God, yes. But just a man. Just as any one of God's men are sinners, saved by grace. Capable of falling, just as any one of us are. Not falling into the pit of hell, but stumbling into that sinful flesh that we have to deal with. And Peter denied the Lord. And he, in verse 62 we read, and he went out and wept bitterly. Do not you and I, when we think of the mercies and grace that God shed upon you and I at Calvary, do we not weep bitterly when we see ourselves in sin? I do. Verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy who it is that smote thee. And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. In verse 66, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him, our Lord and Savior, into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And our Lord answered him and said, thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, look here, I can get rid of him this way. He asked whether the man were a Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he belonged unto the Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Isn't that interesting? Pilate and Herod were both in Jerusalem at the same time. You know, those over in Las Vegas might want to put odds on something like that. They didn't like each other. You think if they knew each other were going to be there, they'd want to be in town? They didn't like each other at all. Watch and read, you'll see. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. Verse 8. 8 of chapter 23. Because he had heard of many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he, our Lord and Savior, answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Oh, how often we've heard Brother Pastor Gene stand before us and explain this one to us. Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics are at complete odds, but they are together when it comes to being against the one and true God, the sovereign God who rules over all things. They both will deny that. For before they were at enmity between themselves, and then verse 13 we read, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought me this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one of them unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Now in verse 20 we read, Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he, Pilate, again said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. There was no evil in our Lord. He was crucified without cause. But there was a cause, wasn't there? It was his determinant counsel for you, for himself to be hung on that cross for us, to be made a curse for you and I. Because see, you and I were cursed from the beginning of the time when Adam, or since Adam sinned against God. The whole creation is cursed. Everything. The very ground that we walk on. So there was a cause. It was a cause because he loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love that he gave himself for us. Pilate says, I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant. They were urgent. With loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. Oh, the weakness of the flesh. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Folks, that's free will right there. That's exactly what John Reeves would have done if the Lord would have left me to my free will. I would have crucified my Lord right then and there. I was crucifying him for 40 years. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. That's the same as crucifying him, not wanting to have. He's dead. He's gone. I don't believe in him. Pilate, he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simeon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And they followed him a great company of the people and of the women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his remnant and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, The king, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mists. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulchre that was hewn in the stone, wherein never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and now his body was laid, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, resting the Sabbath day according to the common commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, the women, which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet at Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Twice in a 24-hour period, Our dear brother Peter had the words of the Lord recalled to his mind. Those very words that our Lord said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. This is why I say there was a cause, a just cause. God Almighty sent His Son to be our sacrifice. Why? Because He's always loved us. From the beginning until the end. If there ever was an end, and there will never be an end in God's world. Isn't that wonderful? Turn over to Mark chapter 16. We're only going to read one verse there in Mark. If I can get to it in the right direction here. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Why am I keep going back that way? There we go. Look at verses 5 with me. A couple of verses here. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Folks, it's just the same thing as our Lord telling his disciples to go into Jerusalem and look for a man carrying a pitcher of water. When our Lord says something, it is going to happen. There's no question about it. We don't have to worry about things happening. Everything happens exactly the way our Lord wants it to happen. I have to remind myself that every day. There's so many troubles and sadnesses that go on in our lives, the things around us, the things that are within us. Do we not have to be reminded that it's according to God's purpose? Romans 8:28, all things are for the good to them who love God. Oh, how quickly we forget. John, turn to John chapter 20, verse 5. Let's look at that. Actually, let's start at the first one. Chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when there was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that the other disciples, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he had must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. Now let's look at one more verse over in Matthew 28, verse 16. Now, Matthew goes through and gives his account of everything that had just happened. But what I want you to see here is in verse 16, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, this is where they're going to go off. After they have seen the Lord Jesus has been has revealed himself to them, and that's exactly what this is all about. You know, God revealed himself to many people in his resurrection. But not all. To this day, many think that God, that the Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, body was stolen and made up to be something that he's not. Just a man buried in the ground somewhere. Yet our Lord wanted to make sure that there was enough that knew he was not. So he revealed himself to many in that day. And after he had revealed himself to the disciples, he sent them off to a mountain to wait for him. To wait for the Holy Spirit. That's where they went off and they made their choice of another disciple, which they shouldn't have done because that wasn't God's choice. But there was a day coming, and we're going to pick this up again next week in the book of Acts. We're going to move from Luke to the book of Acts. And we're going to see where the Holy Spirit works in his people, reminding them of God's word. So if you would, please stand with me now.